The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I want to carry on from last week and really set everything up for the prayer meeting coming up Friday night through the night in prayer. How many this week you found yourself talking to your Heavenly Father? Okay. So we're going to continue that this week, but I want to just come from a little different angle here today. This week, one of the mornings, I can't remember it now, I woke up singing a song from the 70s, which is crazy because I didn't hear it, but it was really to the scripture. So this scripture was just going over as a song in my spirit. And I heard this title, How Great is Our God? How great is our God? And there was the title of the message here today. But I want to read from Psalm 98 and verse 1. Psalm 98 and verse 1. Father, let every ear be anointed to hear, and every heart receptive receive all that heaven has today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need one of the bulletins that has my notes in it, raise your hand. The ushers will get one to you. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Now you think about that. Normally when somebody gets in a fight, the whole body's involved. Both hands, fists, feet. But God, it says his right hand and his arm. God's right hand and his arm got him the victory. That means he didn't use his left hand. He didn't use his left arm. He didn't use his right foot. He didn't use his left foot. He just used his hand, his right hand, and his arm. Can you imagine if he used everything? For the Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise. Unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. And rejoice. And sing praises. There you are. I was looking for you. I'm going to give you an extra $1,000 just spending money. So you have extra. Yeah. And kiss my continent when you get there. When you get there, tell it I send my love. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and with the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord your King. So God, when we come around him, we never come with funeral music. Why is it that religion has put God always around a funeral dirge? Think about that. We're supposed to come around him joyfully, making a noise. Like some people come around God like they're going to offend him. Like, shh, God will get offended at you. You made a noise. You coughed. If you've ever been in a historical church and you sit there, If you try to open like a little thing of candy or whatever, everybody's so quiet. If you just went like it, as it spun, they would hear the creaking of the candy paper and everybody would be looking at you like, what are you doing? Like you're something illegal to take a mint out and put it in your mouth. It takes you like 20 minutes to do what you normally just reach in your pockets, unravel a mint, but it takes you 20 minutes and you're struggling. You're not even listening to the preacher because you don't want to make a noise. True? He says, make a noise. make a joyful noise unto the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in. Let the floods clap their hands. Let all the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Psalm 98, verses 1 through 9. Now, when we come around God, we're not coming around another human being. God doesn't think like us. we must think like him. God doesn't operate like us. First of all, we are a creation. He is creator. As I said last Sunday, God created creation. Before creation, he was. God even created the concept of time. Before time, God was. Because you're trying to work it out. So if God made us, who made him? No one made him. Are you with me? He is the Ancient of Days, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, the first and the last, which was and which is to come. He is the one that came up with the concept of creation and created. And that's what he does. He's creator. For that's hard for you to understand because you had a beginning and you had an end, and he doesn't have one. Isaiah, or you would say Isaiah, but it's really Isaiah, 40 in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary, and there's no searching in his understanding. So, in other words, God never gets tired. He's not frustrated. He's not old. And he's not confused, and he's not trying to find answers to the problems. In other words, there's nothing we can come to him with and God go, I'm at a loss for words right now. Son, give me a day or two. Let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Yeah. Hey, let me pray about it. I'll get back to you. What do we do when we don't know what to do? Let me pray about it. Isn't that right? So who do we go when we pray? We go ask him because he knows everything. But God doesn't go to anybody else to ask anybody else because he has it all within himself. Isn't that awesome? When you look at creation, creation speaks of the glory of God. Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his and proclaims his handiwork. You can't look at nature and say that there is no God. For anybody, I mean, we stood just a few weeks ago at the Grand Canyon, and you look at the vastness of that canyon. What, 240 miles long? I mean, the whole ridge, the river that runs down there, and I mean, there's some drop-offs of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 feet, you know, to the river, the river that runs down below. And you see the handiwork of the Lord. If you begin to look at all the animals that live on the top of the plateau and then all the ones that live down and the goats that jump off of like sheer cliffs and they bounce around and it's like their playground and the rabbits and the rattlesnakes and the mice and all the creatures and then the hawks and the eagles and everything else that comes and then the fish that live in the river and everything. And he made it all. You can't stand there and say, you know, there's no God. Everybody knows that. Even they're trying to make it, well, I don't really believe there's a God. Really? Really? You don't really believe there's a God? No, I don't believe there's a God. Okay, so how do we get here? Well, we kind of just evolved, you know. We used to be like a little amoeba, and then the amoeba over millions of years developed like a thought process. And the amoeba kind of swam and collectively came together to form some cells, and then it grew a tail, and the thing waggled for about another 100 million years, and then it grew some legs, and then it came out, and suddenly it was on the land. And then, amazingly, then, you know, I asked one person, well, where did we come from? He said, we came from monkeys. And I looked at him, I thought, you know, actual fact, I mean, I don't believe that, but you almost convinced me here today. So, no. What I'm trying, yeah, because I come from Africa. We have monkeys there. If people were coming from monkeys, they would find monkeys in transition. You know what I mean? So you're talking to this monkey. I'm like, he's like halfway there, you know. He eats meat, but he still eats bananas, lots of bananas. He's lost the ability to swing with his left arm, but he swings with his right arm. Well, we're evolving, Pastor. We came from swamp gas. Do you know that? It takes more faith to believe that you came from a little amoeba and then you became a tadpole, and then you, only God knows how they even make this stuff up. And you know what? You don't have to go far to see that. You go down to Epcot Center, and you go to the land or whatever, and they talk that nonsense. Now, 4 billion years ago. And then they talk this total garbage. No God. Anyway, I'll just leave it alone. It's like, sometimes you get speechless, and these are educated people. I mean, educated people believe that this happens. Some people have been educated beyond their intellect. Why is it, how hard is it to believe? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And God made Adam and Eve. And that was it. Well, how hard is that? It's like, that's hard to conceptualize. Oh, you're one of those people, you believe in creation. Well, I don't believe in swamp gas coming out as a tadpole. Revelation 4 and 11, worthy are you, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and dominion. For you created all things, and by your will they were brought into being and were created. So all creation actually speaks of the glory of God. If you just looked at creation, you would see God. In whales, do you know that every whale has a unique song? There's no two whales on the planet that sing the same song. Their song is totally unique. It's totally unique to that whale. Only God can do that. Birds, have you seen the expanse of birds? Birds of all shapes and sizes and colors and pretty ones and some ugly ones. But they all have their place. Birds, amazing. The sound of the birds, have you heard them sing? Have you heard the noises that they make? Sometimes you're so busy listening to your cell phone, you never hear a bird. I love listening to birds, you know. Because I got tired of listening to whining preachers. You go outside and you hear the birds, just stop everybody from talking and say, just listen to that. The first in the morning when they start singing, they're actually giving him glory. The trees. The Bible says the trees of the field clap their hands. Some say, I don't see any hand on a tree. Well, you go to Disney World, you see it, the trees talking and all that kind of stuff. So they believe that tree. I believe what the Bible says. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The stars of the heaven sing. The stars, when you look up and see the handiwork of God in creation, it's mind-blowing. I remember this was back in the early 90s. I was on the road and I couldn't sleep, you know. I'd come out of the meeting and stuff, so I put the TV on, and there was like this program on the universe, and it was like back to back, it was like a marathon, so it's like midnight, okay? And I couldn't stop watching it. You know that by 6 a.m, all I could do was weep and just say, how great is our God? Because when you begin to understand this, you begin to see, my Heavenly Father made that. He made all of that, and He made you. Just look at your friend and your neighbor and just see the handiwork of the Lord. I know some of you don't think you were handiwork, but let me tell you, no, listen to me. Listen to me. There is nobody like you. There's no other person like you. Someone said, I found a doppelganger. That means somebody that looks just like you. They might, but they're not like you. They might look similar to you, but they're not like you. You are very uniquely you. How many understand that you are very uniquely you? The Lord only made one me and threw away the mold. Fortunately for the planet. I can't imagine if there was another one of me running around the place causing trouble. So you are very uniquely you. So He made the sea that roars. You go stand. Who's ever gone to the ocean and just stood there? Now, I mean, obviously not here in clear water. There's no waves coming in and ocean roaring. You know what I mean? Looks like a lake. But who's ever stood by and watched the ocean as the waves roll and everything like that? And your Heavenly Father made all of that. Yeah. And then the creatures that live therein. You look at the fish and even the mighty denizens of the deep when they go down into the different trenches of the earth, and some of the creatures that live there outside of light, but yet the beautiful colors that they have, and when you see them, and everyone has a function. Who made that? Your Heavenly Father made that. Would I have included them in the fish realm? No. You know, I mean, I sometimes think, how did you come? What is the purpose of that thing? But God made it, put His purpose there. He's God is very vast in His way of thinking and operating. He's not narrow-minded. God's not narrow-minded and closed. Are you with me? And then people, look at people. Traveling to 78 countries of the world looking at people. You see the handiwork of God. Different tribes, different tongues. And that's why I'm against the globalist New World Order, because they want one group and everybody's just the same. We would be at a loss. If everybody was exactly the same, we would be at a loss. We need the nations. We need the different tribes. We need the different tongues. That's the way that the Lord made it. We would be at a loss. You bring something to the table that nobody else brings. That's why the devil's always trying to go identity on you. Identity, identity. That's what they play, identity politics. And there's always the disenfranchised. I think I heard that one of the candidates said that men could now go for pregnancy. Was it with a... Huh? Oh, men can have abortions. And there's nobody to go. It's not possible. I mean, there's nobody with enough brains in the room to put their hand up and say, that is actually not possible for men to go have an abortion. Except you get some idiot doctor. You can't make this stuff up. But you know what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 1? When they don't want to retain God in their knowledge, God gives them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind void of judgment. In other words, it's totally insanity. I mean, how in the world do you come up with 57 genders? Okay, so all I know, there's two, okay? That's me. I'm just simple. I'm from Africa. There's two genders, male and female, okay? One with spout, one without. That's it. That's it. Okay. So how do the other genders propagate themselves? If you took people of other genders and put them on an island, how do they even... The population will die. True. Don't look at me like that. Have you dumbed yourself down that much? Do you actually believe that there are multiple whatever? Somebody said, well, Brother Ronnie, I'm a man here, but sometimes I feel like a woman. I do too. I feel like a woman. Yes, she is. My woman, I feel like a woman. You know, that's my female side right there. I don't have a female side. There she is. Amen. All right, well, that would, you know. We really are fighting for America when you start talking about these things. Everybody's like staring at you like, well, I'm not sure this is politically correct. It might not be politically correct, but it's Pentecostally correct. Because the book of Acts says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and didn't include anybody else. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Bible says in the book of Genesis, male and female, he created them. Well, you've got hate speech. Next thing you'll be saying, I'm a racist. People are crazy, man. People are crazy. All of that stuff is to destroy what God's created. Destroy the families. You know, get everybody killing their babies. Population reduction is called eugenics. So they hate God. They hate God. You have to hate God and you have to hate people to kill a baby right as it comes out the womb. I mean, really, seriously. You know, somebody says for woman's health, it's really for people to just live a life that they want to live and to just go around and have sex with everybody, and whatever baby comes along, they can just kill it because that's fine, then they don't have to have the responsibility of looking after that child. Meanwhile, these people wanted to have children so badly. They would do anything, but they can't have children, and other people are murdering them. Then the selling of the body parts, okay, I mean, we could go into what they're doing. It's beyond the pale what's taking place. But this has become accepted, an accepted norm by people that hate God and hate creation. And then they'll go pick on a bird, you know, well, this bird is going to go extinct. Meanwhile, they're killing babies. This cat was saved in a storm drain. And it's on the evening news, and the fireman is like a hero, and this little kitty cat by the name of Fluffy is now going to get a home. But sweet, precious babies have been basically, as they're about to come out, they inject right into, right behind the head, and kill it as it's coming out. The head's out, but they kill it. The body's not out, but they kill it. Or they dismiss. They start ripping the baby to shreds, pull out the arm, pull off everything. There's pictures of them playing with the baby's carcass. I don't even know how people sleep at night. Yeah, I'm a hunter. When I hunt, I actually thank the animal. I'm like an African, okay, so that we're going to eat this deer or whatever. Then I thank the animal. Thank you for your life, and you're going to feed many people, you know, that kind of stuff. The bushmen do that, so I must be a bushman because I thank the animals. I mean, you catch a fish. Who eats fish? It's a fish. But I thank him. Who eats chicken? It's a chicken. Say, hey, thank you, chicken. You've laid many eggs, and I've been blessed by your ministry. But now you gave me offerings every day of eggs, but now you're going to give the final sacrifice, and we're going to be so blessed. Isn't that right? Who eats meat like a beef? Who eats beef? That's a cow. You go talk to a cow in the field and tell him you're going to eat him. But these creatures were all put there for our benefit.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Your eyes, every eye, there's no two eyes that are the same. That's why they're doing everything with biometrics. So they can look at your eye and tell you everything about you, who you are. That's the new scan. When we flew into America on our last international trip, we came in, we didn't even use our passport. We just stood, the camera looked at us, and it printed out my name from my eyes. Your fingerprints are uniquely yours. Your eyes are uniquely yours. So don't let anybody tell you, well, you're just nothing. Because God doesn't make nothing. Amen. Say this after me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And who made you? So what does the devil want to do? He wants to get you to hate yourself. Well, I can't stand me. I just hate me. Then people try to do stuff to themselves. I don't like the way I'm going. Outside of God, you're never going to be happy. Outside of Him, you're never going to have peace. But when He comes and steps into your life, He's the Prince of Peace, and He brings peace, and suddenly you begin to see yourself the way that He sees you, that He loves you, and that He has a wonderful plan for your life. And He says, I know the plans I have for you, say the Lord. Plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. And He wants to tell you, I know there's an enemy out there that hates you and he wants to destroy you. But come hook up with me and I'll help you and I'm going to help you take care of yourself, and I'm going to help you deal with the enemy, because I'm going to give you the power to take care of everything that you need. You're not going to live by yourself. You're going to live with me. You're going to follow me. You're going to obey me. You're going to do my purpose, my plan for your life. The enemy has a plan, but you're opting out of his plan. You just say, I opt out of your plan, and I'm hooking up with God's plan for my life. And then know that he's already worked it all out. God's gone before you. 10, 20 years, 30 years, if Jesus tarries, he's gone before you. He already knows the end from the beginning. He's gone before you to make the crooked path straight. And he wants you to trust him with your life. The times we get into problems is because we want to do it all. We want to get it all laid out. We want to bring, I'm going to do it my way. I don't want to listen to anything that God has. And then we struggle and we spin our wheels. But when we come to him and we surrender, okay, I've tried it my way, but I'm going to give myself to you. You take over. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. Not my will, but thine be done. Then you yield yourself to him. You work for him. Somebody said, who do you think you are? I'm a child of the king. I belong to God. Somebody said, well, we didn't invite you to come. You didn't know me, so you couldn't invite me. And I don't go by invitation. I come by commandment. And the Lord told me to come. And I'm going to obey him, because I learned a long time ago that I need to do what he tells me to do. I'm not here for fame or fortune or people's popularity or what they think or don't think. I'm only concerned about what he thinks. Somebody said, well, you made me upset. Well, that's fine. I might have made you upset, but I didn't make God upset. So he said, how do you know? Just talk to him. He's very happy. If I had to listen to religious people out there, what they think about me, you think God was going to strike me with lightning tomorrow. Because their idea is God's playing whack-a-mole with his kids. God's not playing whack-a-mole with you. Anybody been to a fair with whack-a-mole? Anybody trying to hit those things? God's not doing that with you, so relax. Amen. He's on your side. He's for you. He's a big God. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. So what I did was, now I took of what we dealt with last week and I put them into 12. So when we come here, we're still going to put things on the thing to pray for. But here's what we're going to do. Just so people know, there's a different guideline. You know what we believe in God for in the online prayer meeting. But every hour, there's one for every hour. I want you to emphasize that in each hour as you pray. Starting with, you are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Because what happens is people say, well, things got started, but I don't know how they're going to end. Well, God started it and God's going to finish it. That he who began a good work in you is able to complete it. So you are in process. You are under construction. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm under construction. And when you look at me, a lot is scaffolding. No, you're not saying it. A lot is scaffolding. I mean, you drive up the 75, you see what this road works. Why are they doing that? Well, because they are making the roads wider and they're making the on-ramps wider. So those things are necessary in order to construct. So when you see people, don't criticize them. Well, I'll tell you what, they've got cones around them and there's all these things. Well, because God is constructing them. He's getting them to the place that he's going to be able to use them. So people are coming here and God is constructing them and building them. That's why we have to have patience with different people. Are you with me? How many think the Lord had patience with you? All right. So if God had patience with you, then you must have patience with other people. Stop being cranky. Stop trying to find flaws and faults with other people. Let me tell you how I operate. I mean, we've had people, the church has been going, what, 22 and a half years. So there's people that come here. We've launched over 4,000 students out of here, gone to different places in the world. So people come here, they come to the church for 2-3 years and they leave, and then 5 years later they come back, and it's not that they left bad or they just left. They'll show up at a camp meeting or whatever, and then they come to me and say, Pastor Ronnie, I'm back. And I look at them and go, you left? You know, this wasn't like I was going around, oh, they're not here. Oh, they left. Are you with me? I mean, we're busy. We're flat out busy, you know what I'm saying? And some people don't get involved, so when they leave, you don't really know that they were there. I mean, if suddenly Pastor Tony's gone, I go, where's Pastor Tony? Why? Because you know that he's around. Now suddenly he's not around, you know. If Merlin suddenly, where's Merlin? No, he's gone. He's in Guatemala or whatever. But some people don't get involved, so you don't really know that they left, because you didn't actually know that they were there. Or people leave because there was a problem, and I, to be honest with you, I don't walk around with a book with people's names. That was a problem, whatever. So people show back up, and they come and say, Pastor Ronnie, we're back. And then maybe one of the pastors say, hey, you remember what they did? And I go, what? They did that. That's why they left. I go, what? They never did that. Really? They did that? Impossible. Because I don't carry it. I don't. You can't walk out here. I can't walk out here on Sunday carrying everybody's stuff and whatever. I keep myself free from that so that I can minister to you without any restraint, you know. So if I do hit something, it's just by accident, really. It's like it's a bullseye in the dark. It's not because I actually knew anything. It's just like, oh, he knows all about me. I know nothing. I know nothing. I've walked around, people grab me in the lobby. Pastor Ronnie, I'm so sorry. I go, sorry for what? I'm sorry. I say, I know nothing. I know nothing. I don't know any. La 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 la. Come on. You can't run to city after city and carry the fire and then keep book, a list of everything, whatever. People are people. People are going to make mistakes. People are going to make the wrong choices. You know, you never write anybody off. Somebody that has been struggling with something maybe 4 or 5 years and then suddenly they get the victory and now they're making it. Yeah. Are you with me? Amen. All right, so the beginning and the end, the first and last. I am that I am. That's another one there, right there. That'll clear the room every time. Amen. That's your Heavenly Father. Amen. Right. Say this after me. I am.
I am.
I'll try to get it like
I am that I am.
That's your Heavenly Father. That's your Heavenly Father. Amen. Well, by whose authority do you come around here?
I am.
That's all the credentials you need. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The Ancient of Days. Ancient of Days. And I believe, of course, when we get to heaven, for all eternity, God's going to show us his goodness and his glory. And really, there's no words to even express or describe how great and how awesome that he really is. If we spent the rest of our remaining days on the earth talking about how good he is, we would run out of words and never even get to the beginning of how great and how awesome he is. I said this last week, they're creatures before the throne and all they do is cry, holy, holy, holy. And they've been doing that for eternity past, and they're not bored. The creatures are not yawning, going, oh, get me another song. Because they see him. When you see him as he really is, are you with me? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob. This is why we teach the word, so people can understand who he was to Abraham, who he was to Isaac, who he was to Jacob, and who he is to you. Someone says, yeah, well, an angel of the Lord didn't appear to me. But you don't need an angel of the Lord to appear to you. You have a Bible. I said, you have a Bible. You can read. Someone says, well, I've read it. Yeah, but you didn't take it personally. I take it personally. When I open my Bible, that's my Bible. He's talking to me. Somebody said, well, it's for me too. You have to make it yours. I'm gonna take it. If you ain't taking it, I'm taking whatever you don't believe. I'm going to grab a hold of that. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Amen. That's our God. It's very distinct. Very distinct. El Shaddai. The God that's more than enough, the all-sufficient one, the God of plenty. That's your Heavenly Father. Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Jehovah Nisi, your banner, Jehovah Shalom, your peace, Jehovah Rea, the shepherd. The shepherd. The shepherd protects the sheep, comes in and beats the wolf up, takes the wolf out. David, you know, was a shepherd. He took the lion and the bear, and then could take the giant. A shepherd doesn't run. A shepherd confronts. Are you with me? Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And then, of course, that last one that we ended off with last week, he who sits in the heavens laughs. And so God is actually sitting in the heaven, and he's laughing right now. I didn't say it. He said Psalm 2:4. Go read it. He who sits in the heavens laughs. And when he laughs, the enemy is in total derision and confusion.
Yes.
If his voice is the sound of many waters, imagine his laughter. It's like a rapids, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we come to him in worship. We come into his presence just to worship him. So let's do that this week. This week, whenever you pray, tell him, I'm not asking for anything. I've just come to tell you how much I love you. Even though you have needs, we already have prayed, so that's all taken care of. I already took care of the whole week, so you don't have to pray over anything, okay? We already did that earlier. So already took care of all that. So and what did I say when we finished praying? It's done. It's done. You need to listen carefully. I'm not doing this for my own health. You know what I'm saying? So we prayed. We already took care of the week. So that means this week you don't have to ask for anything. All you have to do is come worship him and say, today I just come to thank you. I just come to praise you. And when you think of the situation again, say, I'm just going to praise you. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to lift up my hand. Drive down the road with your hand on the wheel, the other hand in the air, and just say, I'm just going to praise you. I'm going to thank you. When you wake up in the morning and the problem's staring at you, I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to thank you. I'm going to give you glory. I didn't come to ask for anything. I just come to tell you how wonderful you are, how awesome you are, how majestic you are. You're my God. You're the creator of heaven and earth. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, which was and which is to come. You're the Ancient of Days. You're the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are my healing. You are Jehovah Nisi. You are my banner. You are my victory. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are my peace. You are my shepherd. You are with me everywhere I go. And right now, you sit and you laugh, and my enemies are running in stark terror and derision. So, this whole week, make it about, I'm just going to tell him how much I love him. I'm not going to ask for anything. And even if he said to you, what do you want? Say, I don't want anything. I just want to tell you how much I love you. Love you. Because what happens when you begin to do that, then God arises. And when God arises, his enemies are scattered. And you're not his enemy, you're his child. Psalm 68 and verse 1. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of the Lord. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. So let's do that this week. Let this be a week of rejoicing and praising him. Even if it looks like the circumstances are going another direction, don't focus on that. Just immediately begin to worship him. If you hear bad news, just begin to worship him. If something comes your way that was unexpected, just begin to praise him. Just begin to exalt him. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
And when you come for Friday night, 6 to 6 through the night prayer, write down all the things you believe in God for. But when you come, don't spend hours just praying. There'll be stuff on there. Just worship him. Just let's do something different this all-night prayer. Let's just make this about, we're just going to come and worship him. I believe when you look again, all the things that you made a list of, you'll see that they're taken care of because he's the God that's more than enough. He's waiting to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. That's why don't let somebody else do the praying. You pray. You talk to him. You exalt him. Let there be a sound coming from your mouth. He's interested in you. Let me close with this. If there was one thing that irritated me with the kids when they were growing up, is that they went through their mother to come and get me to do something. And my wife would come and say, Kenneth wants this. I said, well, tell Kenneth to come talk to me. Or if Kirsten wants this, she can. I said, she knows where I am. Tell her to come. I'm here. Kelly wants it. I'm here. And come through. You're not Mary. They go to my wife like she's Mary. You know. You're going to light a candle in front of my wife and can you pray to Dad and get this from Dad? No. No, no. No candles to my wife and no going to Mary. You come and ask me. And the Father feels the exact same way. So you can come and say, Pastor Ronnie, would you pray for me? Well, how about, as we always try to do, is teach you to pray for you. Because God actually wants to hear from you. Nothing wrong with your mouth. Sometimes we always try to get other people to do what we're supposed to do. No one can work the thing out better with the Lord than you. Someone says, I'm going to go to this preacher and he's going to pray for me. He can't. Unless God gives him a word of knowledge or whatever, it's going to be very basic, generic. You know what I'm saying? Hello. For the average minister, he's going to be the religious thing. Father God, we thank you, Father God, that as Mary, Lord, has come before you, Father God, that, Lord, that would touch her. Oh, God, thou knowest, Lord, the need. Come on. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. But you pray. You talk to him. But I'm not asking you this week to ask him for anything. Do not ask for one thing. Just worship him. Just say, Monday morning, I'm just going to worship you today. I'm going to worship you the whole day. I'm going to worship you through lunch and into the evening. And when I lie upon my bed, I'm going to worship you. And when I wake up Tuesday, I'm going to worship you. And Wednesday, I'm going to worship you. This week, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to bless him. I will bless the Lord and give him glory. Come on. I promise you, everything will look different by next week. Everything. You watch. Everything will look different by next Sunday. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How big is God? How mighty is he? He's awesome. Hallelujah. You can go to the highest star and he's there. You can go to the lowest valley and he's there. And I want you to know this beyond anything else, that the Lord is with you. He's with you. There's a lot of things I don't know. One thing I know, the Lord is with me. And I know that he's on my side. And he's for me. He's not against me. And he's with you. And he's for you. And he's not against you. Amen. That's huge. That's huge. My God, your God, my Father, your Father. I want everybody to bow your heads if you would please across this room if you're here today. The most important thing is that you give your life to him. that you surrender your heart to Him. You're watching by way of television, that you give your life to Him today. You can call the number on the screen. There's people standing by to pray with you and for you. God will break the chains of drugs and alcohol. And even if you're watching today and you, the devil's been lying to you, telling you to end your life, and just might as well just bring it to an end. No, it's the beginning. When you surrender to Him and said, Lord, here I am. Call that number right now. Somebody's standing by to pray with you and for you. Today is your day of freedom and liberty. Today is your day. Today He stands with arms wide open. If you're here today, maybe you come here, somebody brought you, and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm concerned. If I die today, I don't even know where I'll go. I want you to know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you're going to leave another way. If you just say, Lord, save me. Come and save me. He will save you. Maybe you've come into this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened. You lost that passion, that first love, that joy. But today you say, I want to come back. I want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. The Lord is standing waiting for you to come. Will you surrender? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and my Savior? He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Maybe it's something that's hidden. For those watching, we go off the air now. You can go to revival.com, continue to watch. But every Sunday on this same channel, same time, same place, and better yet, come and visit the River Tampa Bay Church. Revival.com has all the address. They'll put everything up on the screen, and come and be a part of what God's doing. So maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. No one knows these deep things that people are dealing with. Your wife doesn't know. Your husband doesn't know. Your parents don't know. Your children don't know. No one knows. And you've never dealt with it because you feel safe and secure in the privacy of your own imagination. But today you say, I want it gone. I want this thing gone. Maybe it's pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, hidden things that clog the heart of man. Today, God will set you free if you surrender to Him and say, Lord, here I am. Maybe something outward now that the enemy has against you, and he kind of blackmails you basically by saying, God will never use you because of this, that, or the other thing. Let me tell you, God will use you if you just surrender to Him today. Somebody said, man, I've blown it so many times. God's a God of a new beginning. God's a God of a second chance. If you'll just surrender and say, Lord, here I am. I humble myself to receive what I don't even deserve. He will come. He will come. Maybe it's not hidden outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along. You were doing great, and this thing hit you like a Mack truck from hell. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. It like took your breath away. Acts 3 and verse 19 says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of the heat, of reviving with fresh air will come from the presence of the Lord. Today, will you surrender to Him? Will you say, Lord, here I am? He will restore. He will restore you. He will renew you. He will revive you. Today, will you surrender to Him? God will never force Himself on anybody. He only comes where He's wanted. And you the one. I can't make the decision for you. You have to make the decision. Okay. Okay. Today. Somebody said, I'll leave it for next week. No. Now. Remember this. When God looks at people's hearts, He looks at temperature. People's hearts are either hot, lukewarm, or cold. And this is not the time to be lukewarm. He said, I would that you either hot or cold. This is the time to make a decision. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to follow Him and obey Him. If you want God's best, then give Him everything that you are. And then you can attach yourself to heaven's eternal purpose for your life and stop being kicked around by the enemy. He plays with you like a cat plays with a mouse, and one day up and the next day down, one day in victory, the next day in bondage. One day you're happy, the next day you're sad. It's because you haven't made that commitment. When you make that commitment to Him, it doesn't mean that there's never going to be a problem. It doesn't mean that there's never going to be storms. It's just going to mean you're going to be able to overcome those now because you're going to be following His purpose and plan. The storms of life come to everybody. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. God will deliver you out of every circumstance, but you have to surrender. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, that's not even a question. You love Him, but you are not sure of your salvation. It was just you and me in a room, and I looked at you and said, do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you died today, you'd go to be with Jesus? You'd look at me and say, I don't know, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I want you to know. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is your Lord and Savior. And if this is you and you fit into any one of these categories, I'm going to pray with you for you. Right where you are, quickly, without any hesitation, put your hand up right now and say, pray for me. I need Jesus. God bless you. 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 God bless you over there. Under the overhang. God bless you. God bless you. This side over here. Quickly raise up high and say, yes, Lord. Yes, I'm not leaving here the same way that I came. Today is my day of freedom and liberty. This side over this. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, over here. Yes, at the back. Yes, over there. Yes. Yes. Quickly. Quickly. Today is your day of freedom and liberty. You can put your hands down now. I want everybody to look at me, if you would please, in this section over here, all the way to the back. If you didn't raise your hand but you want to be included, quickly put your hand up and say, include me. Say, yes, that's me. I want to be included. Thank you. I've seen your hand already. This section here, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included, put your hand up and say, include me. Anybody else? Quickly. This section here, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included, slip your hand up right now. Thank you. God bless you. Yes. Anybody else? Anyone else? Under the overhang. You didn't raise your hand but want to be included, slip your hand up right now. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. This section here, you didn't raise your hand but you want to be included, quickly slip your hand up right now and say, include me. I want every person that raised your hand to stand to your feet all across the building, please. Stand up right now. Stand up right now. Yes. Come. We're going to pray. Come out from where you are and come stand right here. We're going to pray together. Come. Come. We're going to pray together. Come. Come. Yeah, come. 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 Pastors, help them. Workers, help them. Come. Bring them. Come. Bring them now. Come. He calls you. He calls you. Come. Today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of liberty. Come. He calls you. 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 Today is your day of victory. Put them in the middle. He calls you. He calls you. Come. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come on, Tampa. He calls you. He calls you. He calls you. He calls you now. Come. The world behind me. Turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world. Jesus. You can take the whole world. back.
No turning back.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the harvest today. Thank you for the harvest of souls today. Thank you for lives that have been touched and changed today. That people will step out of darkness and come into light. Thank you. Gracias. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. You know, whenever I give an altar call, I always give it like as the last time I might give it or the last time they might hear it. And then I also am cognizant of the fact that that's somebody's mother, somebody's father, somebody's brother. You know, I've had the privilege now of doing this, I mean, 39 and a half years. And I've said that for years, somebody's mother, somebody's aunt, uncle, brother. I remember back, we were in South Africa, I believe it was 2009, the 50 Days of Glory. And I moved around, you know, preached not just there, but a couple other places. And my cousins found me on Facebook, you know. I've got second cousins, third cousins. My first cousins are all my parents' age. This is the way things worked out. Second cousins are all my age. And third cousins, you know, younger than me, obviously. And I said, could we meet with you, have a meal? Now, they're not, many of them not even serving the Lord. Some of them, God help us. I mean, they were involved in some group of people that were really strange, you know. We thought they'd never get saved. So I said, sure, why don't you all come and I'll feed you. I'll feed you all. I didn't know how many were coming. I think we had like 24 of them, 26. I don't know. They showed up at this restaurant. I go, oh, my God. Like, I think I had a third cousin once removed. I don't know what's going on. They all came. And I'm the bill was big. I mean, the cost of food over there is different. I mean, I spent thousands to feed them, you know. They were all happy. But when we got there, they started fighting with each other, you know, already. Because there was, you know, disagreements amongst family. I said, no, we're not going to fight. Today is just going to be a great time. We're just going to have, it's going to be family. We're not fighting. Nobody's fighting with anybody. So I shut it all down. And then, so we had a meal. And then I said, hey, I'm preaching in town. Do you want to come to the meeting? So they come to the service. I got all my cousins there, you know. And that night, I gave the altar call. And it's probably, I'd say about, I think just over maybe 4,000 people in the place. We had like 650 come to the altar call. And when I looked out, there's all my cousins. They're all there. And so I'm looking at the husband and wife, and I knew that his father died an alcoholic. And I'm looking at my other cousin, his father died an alcoholic. So now I'm checking them all out, and it's like I heard myself say, somebody's mother, somebody's aunt, somebody's uncle, somebody's cousin. And the Lord said, and now this is yours. And I mean, I started to weep. I couldn't even talk. I thought, I'm a total wreck. Somebody's going to have to take over the service, you know. So I prayed. I managed to get myself together, prayed the prayer with them. And then I said to the people, there was no room to, you know, to take them to a room. They had to just deal with them right there at the altar. And then I said to the people when they finished, I said, I'm going to ask you, everybody that's not my family, if you would just go back to your seat. And then all my family was there. And I went and hugged everyone, and they all fell under the power. And I was a total wreck. I mean, I got home that night. I was sitting in the bed, like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm sitting up with my, I'm just sitting up, my head against the bedboard, you know, going like, what in the world just happened? Like, seriously, you know. And the Lord said, you know, for years you've gone after other people's family, now went after yours, you know. So I'm just going to encourage you. All your family members are going to come into the kingdom. All your family members are going to come into the kingdom. Every one of your family members, not one will go to hell. Come on. Come on. God's going to bring them in. He's going to bring them in. He's going to save them. He's going to bring them in. And here's what's so wonderful. As you go after souls, the Lord will send somebody after your family. So don't get shocked when you get a phone call from a family member in another state that says, I have something to tell you. I just gave my life to Jesus. And I have something else to tell you. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I got something else to tell you. I feel God's called me to the ministry. I'm telling you. You better get ready. Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Should I do what the preacher? I'm not sure who I'm talking to today. Is there something wrong with you that you don't know who you're talking to? Yeah. I'm not sure who I'm talking to right now. I am sure. I know exactly who I'm talking to. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I want everybody standing here, if you look at me, we're going to pray one prayer fits all. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. You might say, but you don't know me. I don't. But I'm happy to meet you now. You say, but you don't know what I've done and where I've been. I don't, but I know what God's done and where he's been and what Jesus has done and where he's been and what Jesus has done and where he's been cancels out what you've done and where you've been if you believe today. That's why we travel. That's why I go 78 countries of the world. And I promise you, I've never found a group of people that the Lord loves more this group than that group. So that's all a lie. He loves everybody the same. And so we just surrender. We say, Lord, here I am. So if you do that today, God will do that for you. I want you to close your eyes and just raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Pray this together with me. Believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. And thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith, in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now just lift both hands and just thank him right now. Father, I pray that you would seal them by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day, not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.